Welcome back to Hoops HD Championship Week Video Notebook Night or Day Number Sleeka.
Day number six.
Our official.
So the
counter.
Week's almost half over.
Yes, almost halfway through the week because we're six days into it. However that works. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by Joby Fortson, David Griggs, John Sleeka. Rocco Miller will be joining us here in just a few minutes as well. We've got a lot to get to. This is the show where we go over all the conference tournament action, preview all the upcoming conference tournament action. But before we get to any of that, we'd like to talk news and notes. And this is the one day that we have a ton of news and notes to discuss. So yeah. I'm going to go through this pretty quickly here, but I want to highlight a few games at least that happened. And I think it would be best maybe if we do it by conference. Good idea? Bad idea? Lousy idea?
Yeah, so we're so this is the Hoops HD report.
This is the Hoops HD report portion, but it's going to be a mini Hoops HD report.
Okay.
Joby, ACC, obviously Duke, Carolina, and Duke already at without Zion loses Marquise Bolden right at the start of the game and didn't look good, that injury.
No, the stanchion, him running into the stanchion could be an extended time. We just don't know. The good news for Duke is that Kay in his post-game presser did say he fully expects Zion to play Thursday in Duke's first game, which is the quarterfinals of the ACC. So they'll at least get Zion back by all accounts. But in the meantime, I think unless Duke blows through the ACC tournament, I think this loss at Carolina has moved them off the one line for now, assuming Kentucky takes care of business in the manner that they look like they want to do right.
Yeah, I agree with that. Two other notes from the ACC, Virginia, your Virginia team, a nice win over Louisville tonight, today, and David Clemson, a much-needed win over Syracuse that puts them in real good shape, especially if they can win that first-round ACC tournament, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And even if they can't, their case is still a lot stronger than it was before today. But that was one they needed, and it was one they got.
Big East, Stalika, your Xavier team went over St. John's, that schizophrenic St. John's team. But is Xavier now back in the conversation or no?
They'll be back, but by the same token, teams like Creighton are also going to be back, and maybe Providence. But if you look at the draw, Seton Hall actually got the, the three seed. They're going to face off against a Georgetown team that somehow won at Marquette today. So the league continues to be pretty schizo.
They get that win. And not only does Marquette lose, Villanova also loses to Seton Hall today. Another Seton Hall team that really needed that win. I think that's huge for Hall's resume.
Yeah, and I think it puts Hall in. We're not going to lock them in, but that one was big, real big.
Talk about teams that we are going to lock in. SEC, Auburn knocks off Tennessee, Joby. I think that there's no question left this is an NCAA tournament team now.
Yeah, what they were missing before was a lack of getting the business done against teams in the field. Well, they've been doing it. Three really solid wins in a row. Auburn's playing right now, like the team that we thought they were preseason. They still have a lot of on their resume, so they're not going to get the protected seed that was deigned for them in the preseason. But they're going to be wearing white. You heard it here. They're going to. I think even with a loss in the SEC tournament early on, they're going to be wearing white in the NCAA.
Yeah, I could see them doing pretty well in the NCAA tournament. And Auburn is just a team. I mean, they weren't getting the wins, but I always believed in them. I knew they were going to get there. I was big on them all year.
Two other notes for the SEC. Two teams that could have really used a win today. Florida losing, obviously, to Kentucky. Losing to Kentucky is no shame, but they really need wins on their resume. They did not get one. Alabama lost to Arkansas. This might be it for Alabama with that loss.
Puts a lot of pressure on the SEC tournament for Alabama. They're out right now. When you're in a conference like the SEC, the Big Ten, the ACC, you have a chance to play your way in. Unfortunately for Alabama, that's exactly where they are. They have to play their way in. They have to get multiple wins in the SEC against good competition.
The other team, of course, of note in the SEC, we have to briefly mention LSU, not only not having Will Wade, now also Smart, who was the player named in the mentioned in the proudly in the wiretaps, was held back from today's game as well. They did beat Vanderbilt, but Vanderbilt went winless in the SEC, so that's not a big surprise.
Vanderbilt's starting to say the Stallings Award might be not
might be coming home to Nashville.
Might be coming home. I think we have Rocco Miller joining us now. Rocco, how are you tonight?
Hello, everybody. I'm good. I'm hanging in.
Don't ask him that.
Well, I don't. I hate to beat you up just as you come in the show, but let's talk Pac-12.
No, you don't,
Rocco. right before we came on here, you just saw Washington take a huge blow to their at-large chances with the loss to Oregon.
Yeah, it wasn't good. It definitely wasn't good. And the team honestly hasn't been playing that well the last four or five games. It's been a good season overall, and I think, you know, with my heart of hearts, the NCAA committee will look at the body of work, which has been really good overall if you watch the team play. But if you look at the just results, I agree. They haven't beaten anybody that's in the field, so that's a big concern. We'll see how it plays out. There's still a lot to be controlled from Washington's standpoint in terms of just going out and winning the bid next week. So hopefully this is just a wake-up call from a Husky fan standpoint. But otherwise, it's an interesting case. And luckily, it's in a year where, you know, there's a lot of problems around the bubble.
I just hope losing at Cal wasn't hitting the snooze button.
Of note, though, also the Pac-12, Arizona State does get the rivalry win at Arizona, so that does help their at-large case, I think. And after the game, Sean Miller, David, sounded almost like he was saying goodbye to the fans there during a senior day ceremony.
Yeah, it was a senior day ceremony, so, I mean, it's not unusual for a coach to address the crowd that way, but, I mean, based on what all's going on, what he said and how he said it isn't necessarily meaning he's leaving, but it's the kind of thing you would say in the way you would say it if you were leaving. Would we at least agree on that?
I would, and he refused to – he didn't really want to get into it during the press conference afterwards either, what he meant, so we'll see what happens here. Obviously, I don't think anything happens until after the Pac-12 tournament, but we'll see what happens as this plays out. Big 12 today also finished up regular season play. Real quick, Texas Tech win with the win in Iowa State, K-State with the win over Oklahoma, tie for the Big 12 championship. It's official. Kansas is not a champion, although we knew that wasn't going to happen. And the Jayhawks did pick up a home win over Baylor, though. And one other win of note, though, Joby, TCU goes to Texas. Huge win for them and a bad loss for the Longhorns.
Yeah, I mean, let's do the math with Texas. No team ever has gotten into the NCAA field without having a record of at least two over 500. And even that only happened once, though. So this Texas team might be able to prove themselves as an equal to that team from way back in 2001. You cannot say, oh, I'm leaving out the Belmonts of the world and give it to a team who's only one game over 500. That is a really tough argument. It's almost, I think it is a disqualifying type of thing for Texas to not be just one game above 500, which is what they sit at right now. They can't go 1-1 in the Big 12 tournament. They have to go 2-1. That is going to be very tough for a Texas team that is hit or miss on a given day. And it's a lot more missing lately than hit.
They certainly missed today. They missed, you know, they missed a target 8 feet away by about 20 feet.
Two other games I really want to quickly mention before we get into the conference tournament play. First of all, Rocco, Michigan State gets the home win over Michigan to finish up their regular season. Real nice win for Sparty.
It was. I was impressed by the margin of victory and the fact that they were able to control that game throughout the game. And so it puts us in this interesting position where I actually think LSU's resume is a little bit better than Michigan's now for that final two spot.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's so that's why I'll slot them coming up here tomorrow or Monday. But with everything going on with LSU, it really just makes you wonder where we're going to be at a week from now. You know, it's just kind of a crazy circus going on in this.
Especially what if LSU, you know, gets knocked out in the quarterfinals of the SEC tournament and just doesn't without their head coach or without, you know, one of their top.
It happened last year, but just under a different set of circumstances.
Asleka, Temple, nice win over UCF. Really helps their at-large chances too today.
The Owls really needed that because Central Florida seemed to be pretty much banked in themselves with wins against Houston and Cincinnati.
I guess on that note, let's go ahead and go to the conference tournaments. As we do, though, David, also we saw, not actually in the conference tournament, but we saw basically a conference tournament game, Penn with a win over Brown to get that final spot in the Ivy League.
Before we started, I meant to remind you to mention that. I forgot to remind you, but I'm glad you mentioned it. Yeah, it was, for all practical purposes, although not technical, a conference tournament game. It was the fourth and fifth team. They were close enough in the standings to where the winner of this game would have gone. Penn getting it done. So I don't know when the last time, if ever, the Big Five champion missed the NCAA tournament, but Penn has not missed yet. And on top of that, we've seen Penn play at their ceiling, and they're pretty good. We've seen them play at their basement, and they're not so good. But after an 0-3 start, they've finished fourth, and they have – the caliber of team they need to win this.
And they get Harvard, so they avoid the home team Yale in the semifinal. They have the Ivy League tournament.
Yeah.
The last two nights, Penn has played extremely well against very good competition. Pressure on tonight with a knockout game, but they would not even be in that position had they not beaten Yale, who I dare say is better than Harvard and probably the best Ivy League team.
Yeah. And if you missed a Harvard-Yale game the last time they played, I am sorry. It was great.
Let's go to the actual conference tournament games, though. Rocco, I'm going to start with you with the first bid was handed down the Ohio Valley Conference. We will have Ja Morant in the NCAA tournament. They beat Belmont 77-65.
And I think America wins on this one because everybody wants to see Ja Morant in the tournament, and now – everybody gets their wish. So congratulations to Murray State. They are a better team than just Ja Morant. They've got a great nucleus, and they're playing well at the right time. So it's going to be fun to see them in. And I think your follow-up question would likely be, what do we do with Belmont?
Right? Exactly. That is the other question here. Is Belmont in? Because I would love to see them in, and I think they're going to be a team that we're discussing on Selection Sunday still in or out.
Yeah, and I think today is Saturday night, so, you know, mark your calendar. We're going to still be having this conversation a week from tonight, and it'll be a little bit more heated than it is right now. I do think Belmont, the way it shapes up with today's bubble, they barely squeeze in, probably maybe one or two spots in, give or take, depending on your opinion. But I do think they're in today. However, you know, the odds are with all the opportunities for bid thieves, not only them, but like David did a good job of pointing out last night, the teams that are not in right now, the opportunities they have to play themselves in, you know, like the Creightons, the Georgetowns, even the Xaviers, the Memphises, you know, there's just so many variables where Belmont could easily get thrown out. I'd say the percentages would go against Belmont. However, as of this moment, they would still be hanging on to one of those Dayton spots with their 71 non-conference strength of schedule and a over 500 winning percentage in the first two quadrants, which I think keeps Belmont in the conversation until the last minute.
Right, and I think I saw a tweet from David Warlock from the NCAA about less than a week ago, said that on average, I think there's 2.8 bid thieves per year or something in that range. So we could expect, you know, even if they're in as your last team right now, they would probably not be. There's going to be a couple spots that are lost above them. So that's one thing to consider as we go forward.
But we also have to consider for Belmont, they also had a key player missing tonight, and that was OVC freshman Nick Mazinski, because he was a vital part of the Bruins front court, and Murray State went to town.
They did. And again, with Mazinski, I think he averaged about 14, 15 points a game. He was good on the boards. He was certainly a huge part of their team. Now, they're still good without him, but they're certainly better with him. And when they played at Murray earlier this year, they didn't just beat him, but they beat him bad. So when you look at Belmont and when you look at Murray, I know Murray won the auto bid. We're not talking about the auto bid, but Belmont's profile and Belmont's season, I still think, even with the loss today, they outperformed Murray State. And I think they belong in the field. And the one thing that I will say is don't just look at opponent and what their rank is. Look at the games they won and how hard it was to win those games, how far they traveled, what those teams did at home when they won. Because when you look at Lipscomb, Murray State, and I want to say Austin Peay, those teams were a combined total of 33-5 at home. Belmont was 60% of those losses. They were 3 of the 5 losses. That's pretty good. That's harder to do by far than beating a top 50 team with a losing road record at home.
All right. Well, we're going to have this debate a lot as we go ahead here the next week. So let's table the rest of it for now. Move over to a few other conferences.
Select Belmont.
Select Belmont. Missouri Valley Conference, quick note before we get to the games today, we do want to give a shout-out to Barry Henson, who announced that he's not going to be coming back to Southern Illinois next year. As far as these games, Joby, I'm the one that picked Northern Iowa to win this tournament. I'm looking pretty darn good right now after the two upsets
today. I ironically still have Bradley in that final game. I kind of like the Braves going in that one. But, wow, I had Drake winning this tournament. And if you said, well, Drake loses, I would go, well, good for Loyola Chicago for winning. Oops. Yeah, I mean, so don't look to me on the predictions. This Arch Madness is indeed madness right now. And luckily, hey, there's no bid thief here, but it is a shame that I always have a little bit of a disappointment when some of the best teams kind of on the cusp, don't have a pathway to the NCAA tournament. And that's what's happened for Drake. Less so for Loyola Chicago. The sister had her fun last year in the final.
Yeah. And amazingly, both these teams won not by 3 points in the quarterfinals, actually by the same exact score, and by 2 points today. So, David, we got a one-point game tomorrow. Who wins
it? Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I think it's going to be Northern Iowa. I just like how they're playing. But if this is a four-point game or closer – when was the last time, other than the Great West, a team won a conference tournament by a combined total of less than 10 points? We could see it if it's a close game tomorrow. Northern Iowa just seems to have a bigger head of steam going. I know that they had to sweat out the two wins in this one, but, I mean, that's who I'm going with. But what a win for Bradley over Loyola Chicago, who – especially after that quarterfinal game, I thought kind of had it figured out. And I remember thinking, oh, man, this is a team that has a lot of its nucleus back from a Final Four team. If they land on the 14 or 15 line, how big of a headache are they going to be in the round of 64? But now we don't have that issue.
Go ahead.
Oh, one more question for Rocco, but for anybody else. Is the Valley heading for the 16 line?
Well, I was actually just considering that, and I think it's either one of these teams will land in the 15-16 range. I don't think they're heading to Dayton, though, because you look at Bradley. Bradley beat Penn State, and Penn State's a top 50 net team. You look at Northern Iowa, they beat Old Dominion. And so, they got some good things. The other thing about Northern Iowa is they only have one bad – I mean, when you say bad, when you're comparing teams like this, we're talking quadrant four. Northern Iowa's only done that once. Bradley's actually done that 3 times. So you could build a case against Bradley. Bradley's a tale of two seasons. They were one of the worst teams you could find in a conference like the Missouri Valley about 2 months ago. And in the last 2 months, they've completely changed the landscape of their season. They've proved that the last 2 days. I don't think they'll land in a playing game, either one of them. I think there is a chance they could end up on the – straight in 16, maybe playing a Kentucky or a North Carolina, but probably a 15.
I agree with you. I think it's a 15, and kind of Northern Iowa is kind of the same thing. They were pretty horrible early in the season, got real hot late, lost a couple games. They actually had a shot to be about the 3 seed of this tournament, not the 6.
Has been a long time since we've seen the Valley champion seated that poorly.
Right. Yeah. And there are four conferences who, even if their best team wins, will not reach that level. And then all you need are a few other conferences where it's not just the numero uno, like Sam Houston State's not the Southland champ, you know, somebody along the line, else along the line.
All right. Yeah. Let's keep things rolling here into the Northeast Conference. Rock, I'll get to you in a second. But first, Sleek, I want to bring you in on that first game. It was the second game of the day. I think the SFPA knocks off LIU Brooklyn. Looked pretty good in doing that as well.
Yep, and as we noted last night, this is actually going to be Derek Kellogg's first loss in the NEC tournament right here.
Yeah, it is. And now, Rocco, they get to host a Fairleigh Dickinson team that you got to see in person in a real good game against Robert Morris earlier today.
Oh, yeah, it was a great game, guys. And it was a great experience individually for me. Like, they put me courtside and sat by the replay guys, and I was right there in the middle of the action. And it was just really an amazing experience. The crowd was so into it. Honestly, Robert Morris is a team that the entire league really respects for the success they've had of recent. They started 7-1 in the league this year and had control of the league, of course, until the end of the year when they lost the grip and ended up in the 4 spot. That game came down to the last couple possessions. Fairleigh Dickinson had some really big hustle plays to win the game. Great celebration there. Attended the press conference. I actually had the opportunity to spend about 25 minutes with the NEC commissioner today. Just a bunch of great people. A very great college basketball experience. I'm very thankful I had the opportunity to do this. And I think just looking forward to the championship, it should be a hell of a championship. These two teams tied for first place. They both play very hard. I saw St. Francis PA when they were in San Francisco last year. So I'm really looking forward to Tuesday night at 7:00. Should be a great one.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, that'll be a real fun game there. But let's keep things rolling here. Also, David, the Southern Conference quarterfinal day, and while we had a couple of close games, including Samford, who was actually up big on Greensboro most of the game, we did get the top 4 seeds through.
Yeah, the chalk did hold, but it wasn't necessarily easy. Wofford, no problems with VMI. East Tennessee State, all kinds of problems with Chattanooga. I had a feeling about that yesterday. I know that you had said that you thought East Tennessee State would walk all over them, but still, like, you know, they get through. Greensboro, as you mentioned, down most of the game to Samford and down double digits for a large part of it. I want to say with about 5 or 6 minutes left, Samford had an 8-point lead, and then Greensboro went on a 12-0, 13-0 run, something like that, and led the rest of the way. Samford never got the lead back. They were in the game. They had a chance to win all the way up until the final minute, but, Samford, even though they finished 7th, I think that they were tougher than what their overall record showed. This was not atypical for them to give teams at the top of the league a hell of a fight, and it happened again today. And then Furman, not a whole lot of trouble with Mercer. But the other thing, something else happened today. I know we're going to get to the survival board. Wofford is in for sure. I think we all agree.
Yeah. Yes. Wofford is. We locked Wofford in on the survival board today. Our only concern was if they lost to BMI, that would be a bad loss. But now they're past that. But Stalika, semifinal day tomorrow. Now Wofford, East Tennessee State, Greensboro, Furman. This should be a pair of incredible games. Quite honestly,
it should be an incredible game, and I could see Wofford actually being tested for the first time right here. But after seeing Greensboro look a little shaky. I had the Spartans winning this title originally, but I could easily see Furman actually moving on to the title game in their stead.
Yeah, I was actually impressed with the fact that Furman did not really struggle much with Mercer, because the Furman was a team that I was kind of worried about. Are they going to be good or not? And Rocco, I'm seeing bracketologists like Jerry Palm have Furman in their last 4 in right now, actually. And you would think if they beat Greensboro tomorrow, they've got a hell of a case.
They do have a hell of a case. And, you know, Joby touched on it in the beginning when I first joined in. We've got a situation this year that I don't think I've completely seen before. Texas is dealing with a situation where they might have too many losses, and they have the win percentage factor. They have 2 big factors that are going to either be historical precedents for getting in or they're not in. NC State's got a ridiculously horrible NCSOS. You also have Indiana, who's 1 loss away from being in the same position as Texas. And so, you know, at some point you're running out of places to to put teams. And so at some point you just got to grab Furman because they honestly have a great resume. The only thing that's knocking them is the 300-ish NCSOS, which is why I'm still keeping them out. But I love everything else about them.
Right. So huge game with them in Greensboro. Wofford, East Tennessee State, the early game tomorrow. And that's a very game East Tennessee State team, even though they haven't gotten the mentions that the other three teams have.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me at all if East Tennessee State won tomorrow.
Joby, over in the America East, we saw one of the biggest upsets of championship week so far when Binghamton goes into Stony Brook and somehow comes out with a win and dominated most of the game, too.
Unbelievable. Now, I've been big on a Vermont-UMBC final rematch the whole time from last year. Stony Brook was actually in the lead in the conference for a little while, and they slipped back once Vermont took control halfway through. But that being said, where is Binghamton coming from? Oh, my – yeah, New York, I get it. But oh, my goodness, this – no one saw this coming, including me. Wow.
Yeah, this Binghamton team was awful all season, and I expect them to get crushed Tuesday night in Vermont. Yeah. There was a reseed here. That's why Binghamton goes to Vermont. And
Binghamton's J&G is like 330. Yeah. I mean, it's really bad.
There was almost a 200-point difference in net between Stony Brook and Binghamton in this upset here today, David. And
it wasn't more than 200, was it? We didn't get a third, did we?
It wasn't more than 200, but it was like in the 180s. Yeah. So it was somewhere in that ballpark. Right. But
Which is big. But,
UMBC Hartford game has a chance to be a pretty good one, though, Tuesday night.
You think so? I think UMBC is a lot better. I think both of these semifinal games, the home teams win big. And how interesting is this? We've seen UMBC win at Vermont before. We saw it this year, the last two times they've gone in there. And last year it was so crazy because when UMBC won, it was a really exciting game. But my attitude was, that's unfortunate. Vermont was really good. They were good enough to win a game in the round of 64. UMBC, they're just going to go out there as a 16 seed and get crushed.
You're taking shots at Joby. Come on, let's keep rolling along here. Like,
don't count out UMBC.
They'll be in Columbia, South Carolina. I know.
To get back to the tournament.
Okay, Stalica. All season during our Under the Radar podcast, when we got to the Metro Atlantic Conference, we kind of laughed and kept going because that's how bad it was. But if you look at these scores again, maybe not quite as close tonight, at least in this second game, but we've had every game within 10 points, and I think 6 points is the biggest blowout so far in this tournament. It's been a great tournament.
Yep, and even Siena, who seemed to be had their lead ballooning between 3 points and 9 points, they were never able to completely pull away from Ryder towards the tail end of the game. But the other notable result would be Monmouth continuing to move on over a Quinnipiac team that was favored to win in some circles.
Oh, Hawks right there.
Yep.
Monmouth Hawks. Rocco, tomorrow, Iona, Siena, Canisius, Monmouth, the semifinals. Do you see an upset? And is it really an upset if Siena wins at home over Iona?
It's really hard to say if it is because, Siena is at home. These teams are so equal, as we've been saying every single day this week. So, I don't think it's much of an upset. I think Monmouth, much like Bradley, is a tale of two seasons. They had an awful 1-12 non-conference schedule. They've been pretty legit in this conference since the conference schedule started. I think just 2 weeks ago they were in position to be a 3 seed, ended up on the 6th line, but now they're basically acting as the 3 seed. So, any of these 4 teams could make the final just as easily as anybody else. So it's going to be fun.
It's going to be a fun pair of games tomorrow. And David, even though we talked about a huge upset in the America East, we had an even bigger one in the Summit League tonight.
Yeah. And what a day in the Summit League. Generally you're just kind of we've seen this before in the opening round. Well, not the upsets, but you look at the 1-8-2-7 game and you normally think that it's you'll turn it on every now and then to see how it's going and follow the score, but you don't anticipate watching it. I think out of the 80 minutes today, I think I watched 78 of them.
Well, here's a stat on Western Illinois. They've been the 8th seed 3 years in a row now. 2 years ago, they took South Dakota to overtime. Last year, they pressed South Dakota State but fell. They finally broke through this year. That's what it kind of came down to.
You know, they might want to think about winning more games during the season in that situation. But, yeah, they get the win. South Dakota State assuredly not getting into the NCAA tournament. You kind of hate that for them. This was the team that came so close to beating, I want to say it was Ohio State, a year ago and returned so much of it. Kind of a disappointing year, as good as it was. They'll certainly be in the NIT. And then you're like, well, Omaha had arguably looked as good or even better than South Dakota State throughout conference play anyway. So it's theirs to win. They had to really hang on tight to win that game.
Yeah. North Dakota gave them a heck of a battle in their first ever Summit League tournament here. But we are now set up Sleeka. We got those two teams in, two more quarterfinals tomorrow. North Dakota State Oral Roberts, South Dakota Fort Wayne. Any type of predictions with those two games?
I think Fort Wayne should win and set up what could be a de facto final between Omaha and Fort Wayne. And North Dakota State, I think they should have the home court advantage to some extent now that the South Dakota State fans will be heading home.
Yeah, well, you saw the South Dakota fans there, though, so you got to remember that. But let's
have a little more of an uphill climb against the Mastodons.
We also had action today in the West Coast Conference. We got to confess here, we are recording this a little bit early. BYU San Diego is still going on as we record this, Rocco, although as we recorded, BYU is up about 20 points on San Diego. Down about 20 points to San Diego. I apologize. I just said that backwards. But let's talk about the Fighting Lorenzo Romars there and what they did to San Francisco tonight.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed. I've respected San Francisco all year. Of course, I live in the city, and they've had a heck of a run. And it's just an odd way to end it here with a loss to the Romars. But hey, the Romars playing great basketball. There are a couple talented kids on that team. Of course, Mr. Ball's cousin, LaVar's. LaMelo. Name one of the Balls. Their cousins on the team. Good player, sixth man off the bench. Ross is the star player on the Waves. Plays really well. Charles Minlin for San Francisco didn't play up to standards today. It was a weird game, but Pepperdine really stuck it to him, and San Francisco couldn't figure it out. And it really happened to see Coach Romar get to the semis. Now he's got a heck of a challenge in front of him on Monday.
Well, we could be in a situation here, assuming San Diego holds on for this game, David, where we have two teams that have both won three games of the tournament. That means that they're meeting in the finals, right?
Yeah, this tournament has more rounds than a regional. You know, Pepperdine into the fourth round. That's what is that? That's the Elite Eight, isn't it? Just getting to the semifinals of the conference tournament, taking on Gonzaga, who has not even arrived in the city yet, probably hasn't even traveled to Las Vegas. And we're in the four rounds, and what a bizarre setup! I know we got another one next week. The team,
we've got Sunday off here in this tournament, so we'll discuss that. We'll preview those two games coming up on tomorrow night's show. One other conference that was in action tonight, though, Sleeka Colonial first round day. We saw UNC Wilmington pull a mild upset over Elon, but one of the best games of the day actually was that 8-9 James Madison Towson game where Matt Lewis, with about 1.5 seconds left, won it for JMU.
Yeah, I think we had a couple buzzer beaters today for James Madison, so they'll get at least about 24 hours to savor it before going up against a Hofstra team that's probably going to be in a bad mood after their finish to the season.
Yeah, it's a Joby quarterfinal day tomorrow. We got four games in the Colonial. You see any upsets here?
I don't, because I actually really like the four. Yeah, does that make sense? Yeah. I don't see Della, you know, normally pick on the 4-5. No, I think William and Mary probably is better. Hofstra is a darn good team. I think JMU is better than an 8-seed, but Hofstra is the dominant team this year. Northeastern's been very solid, has a few scalps against major teams this year. And College of Charleston might be the best of all of them.
I don't know. I think Hofstra might need to be a lookout. I think it might be a close game, David.
Yeah, Hofstra is way better, but sometimes they just kind of play with their food, as Chad likes to put it. And I could see them struggling. All the really, when you look at all these games, I don't think any of them should be close, but I think JMU Hofstra will be anyway.
A few other conferences in play tomorrow. Let's start in the Patriot League, where it is semifinal day on campus sites. Navy at Colgate, followed by Lehigh at Bucknell. It should be a real fun pair of games, especially that later game.
I agree. I think all these games were amazing in the quarterfinals. It ended up happening to where the top three survived. But, you know, Navy ended up hanging on against American, led wire to wire, I believe. It should be a heck of a semifinal. I think ultimately we'll end up with Colgate, and I feel like Lehigh is gonna get back at Bucknell for a lot of years of being punished from Bucknell. I don't know why. I feel Lehigh.
I actually agree with that. I think it's gonna be Colgate-Lehigh.
Colgate-Lehigh. All right, Joby. We have two championships that are going to be handed out tomorrow. So two more bids, one of them in the Atlantic Sun, Liberty at Lipscomb.
Great game. We talked about Belmont, Murray State, and all these teams deserve it. I don't know if Liberty fully deserves a bid. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty confident saying they don't. But Lipscomb is in that discussion. I don't think they'll get it with a loss. This is the shame. I'm really rooting for Lipscomb because – and this is a team that beat TCU. They've got a decent resume. I could really – they deserve better than the NIT. And I will stick with my thought that Lipscomb's going to win. But this is a very good team and a dangerous 12/13. Wherever they land, when you're filling out your bracket, if Lipscomb is in this tournament, you might want to seriously consider – taking a chance on him, especially if your bracket has bonus points for upsets.
Yeah, and we may have another debate over whether a team is included or not should the upset happen tomorrow and Liberty win at Lipscomb. But, Rocco?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out, just going back to the Belmont conversation, if you're a sister, fan of Belmont, Lipscomb, Belmont kind of being sister schools. They seem to like each other.
No, they don't. They really
Battle,
don't.
Battle of the Boulevard.
But Battle of the Boulevard, yeah, of course. We'll keep it a rivalry. But honestly, Belmont fans are the biggest Lipscomb fans tomorrow because the better Lipscomb looks tomorrow night, and as long as they get that auto bid, and if they somehow blow Liberty out, I mean – that gives just a little bit extra for the committee to think about next week.
Yeah.
And one more championship game. Salika, let me bring you back in. It is Big South Championship game day. Gardner-Webb, who's the surprise winner over Campbell, is on the road at Radford at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Gardner-Webb, the surprise winner. And Radford, who had a little bit of a late season swoon themselves, seems to have righted the ship with their wins against Presbyterian and Charleston Southern. But I think it was last year where Radford actually did win at home on a buzzer beater to win the Big South. I don't know if history is going to repeat itself in that matter, but I do see Radford moving on for the auto bid this year.
We do, David. We do. We love these championship games that are actually on the campus site of the higher seed.
It's going to be a great atmosphere. You kind of hated to see Campbell go out. I know we talked about that last night, but wow, what an exciting day for Radford, its fans, its students, its team, its whole school to get to host this. So, and this is what you love. I think that this is the most desirable format. This is the way it should be done. The Ohio Valley, I know we already talked about it. They did have a great environment tonight and last night. So, I'm not going to say that wasn't pretty cool, but all in all.
But that was only because Murray State fans travel so well.
Right. For the under-the-radar conferences, I think this is the way to structure a tournament.
All these conference tournament brackets we've been going over are on the website right up there, along with the rest of them. There's a few others that will be posted here. And coming up Sunday also is the conclusion of all regular season play, the American and the Big Ten. One game to really circle is Houston-Cincinnati tomorrow, too, in the regular season. But Let's go ahead and move over to our survival board.
Yeah, big day today. I mean, it's
this
probably...
is where we. Oops, I screwed up. Okay, you didn't see that. Heading into the day, we had 277 teams left on the survival board. 28 of which had been locked in or clinched a bid.
Right. Yeah.
David, there's a bunch of different types of type here: bold, italics. What's going on?
Well, the bold teams are teams that are in the tournament, even if they are eliminated from the conference tournament, or if they're still playing tomorrow, albeit there's not many regular season games left. They're in the tournament, even if they lose out. The italics, maybe they're in, maybe they're not. Those are the teams that we're telling the committee they need to look at. And again, this is I should have started by saying this is a tool for the selection committee. It's available to them. They can just come and log in. They have internet at the hotel, so they can kind of get an idea of the teams they should be looking at, the teams they should be taking, and the teams they don't need to worry about.
Correct.
Yeah, and then the regular type teams, and that's the vast majority of them, they're the ones that need the auto bids to get in.
Right, and heading into the day-to-day, we had 277 teams remaining. As a result of what played out today, we're down to 253. It will be 252 in about another hour here. Like I said, the city.
You know, once BYU loses.
But we can probably take them off right now. So basically it's 252. yeah. 31 have now locked or clinched. We've locked in a couple teams, notably Wofford and Auburn, locked in based on what they did today. And we had if we go down here to the Ohio Valley. Where is it?
Yeah.
They see our first team in bold in all caps, Murray State.
Yeah.
But Belmont's still on the board.
Belmont is still on the board, yes.
On that note, David, I also have an issue I want to discuss because last night we were trying to solve some of the NCAA's problems.
Yeah, fix some of the problems in college basketball and we're doing two things, fixing problems and coming up with ideas to make it better and reaching out to people that we think that can help and that would want to help and that, could basically see what they can do about it.
And you wanted to fix the problem of uniform colors sometimes being wrong, and you reached out to the principal from Saved by the Bell? Really?
Well, I figured why not see what the guy that plays Mr. Belding could do about it.
David, I think it's time to solve a real problem. And with what's been going on with especially at LSU and the fact that there is problems in college basketball with people getting paid or alleged to have been getting paid and money going to recruits.
This is
a major problem. We've got to clean it all up.
Yeah.
So tonight we're going to reach out to somebody that can really get it done.
Okay, good. Because I got to say, we've reached out to some of the people you've been reaching out to, Chad, are just utterly ridiculous.
Well, this is someone who can really get it done.
Okay.
Warwick Davis. you may know him as Willow or as Wicket the Ewok from Return of the Jedi.
Chad.
Yeah.
What makes you think this person's going to get anything done?
Why not?
College basketball has
Become a complete mess with allegations of money being played to recruit players in certain schools. Can you kindly fix this problem as soon as possible? Thank you. Warwick Davis can get things done. We know he can. He helped the resistance blow up the Death Star, did he not?
That was a movie, Chad. That was a movie.
He's going to help us solve college basketball's problems. Thank you, Warwick. On that note, let's run any final thoughts. Joby, let me start with you.
Well, we mentioned this as we are going through the SoCon. People have been listening to this podcast now. I've been on the SoCon soapbox for a long time supporting him. Tomorrow, I think we really do have kind of the Because Chalk Held, a fun winner may just take a bid. Between Furman and UNC Greensboro. UNC Greensboro's one issue, they don't have wins against teams, who've done a lot, Furman being the biggest. Beat Furman again, and you only lose to Wofford, it's not the end of the world, and UNC Greensboro might be able to go over the top. Furman has the Villanova win, but has been a little more lackluster in conference. This will make up for that lackluster in conference in spades, particularly if Furman wins. I truly do believe that the SoCon will be sitting with two bids thanks to tomorrow's game in semifinal game.
Rocco, you're up next. And might we be talking three bids, by the way? But Rocco, you're up next.
Yeah, well, I mean, speaking of three bids, I think the way the Huskies have played the last four nights, Arizona State's actually picked up a couple of road wins today, got a big road win against the rival Arizona, only big just from a historical standpoint, and that is a very tough place to win. I don't care how down Arizona is. That's a tough win. Arizona State, of course, winning at Oregon State their last game before that. I think the Pac-12 is almost in prime position to get a third bid, much like the Atlantic 10 did last year in the almost exact same scenario where Rhode Island ran away with the conference. St. Bonaventure was bubblicious all year. And then Davidson won the auto bid. And sure enough, Davidson, Rhode Island got in no problem. And St. Bonaventure went to Dayton. I think that could happen with the Pac-12. But the other piece of my final thought is I think Belmont, in the Murray State situation, it's going to be heavily debated, as we said earlier. I do think the bubble right now is crazier than ever with the whole Texas situation, with the NC State and the Furman non-conference strength and schedule situation, both well above 300, with the Big East situation with Georgetown, Creighton, even Xavier. This next week's going to be more chaotic in different ways than we're used to dealing with. And I'm looking forward to just seeing how it shakes out.
It's going to be a fun, fun week here. Salika.
Going back to the Missouri Valley, Bradley has actually been to a Sweet 16 as recently as 2006 when Jim Les was coaching there. But the last time they actually won the conference tournament was 31 years ago, back in 1988. If they win tomorrow, this would only be their third MBC tournament title in their program history.
Was that the Hersey Hawkins team?
Very well would have been.
All right. See, I got a little bit of knowledge here now and then. David, let me let you finish out the show.
Kind of building on what Rocco said, it just seems like every year we always say the bubble's weak, and every year we say, well, we've never really seen this scenario before. And I guess this year is just like every other year, like the bubble's weakened. We're seeing things we've never seen before. Like when you look at Texas and Indiana, I just don't know. It's so hard to guess. First of all, it's hard to evaluate what I think of those types of profiles with Seton Hall, although Seton Hall kind of stabilized themselves today, and St. John's and Syracuse and a few others. And you don't really know what the committee is going to do with that either, because if the committee took both Texas and Indiana, I may not agree with it, but it's far from outrageous because there are reasons to take them. But what I would really like to see is for a, I really think Belmont deserves to be in the field. I almost think it sends the wrong message, should not take a team like that, because basically it says that the path to the tournament is to play by games and then beat good teams at home that aren't good on the road.
Well, I guess we'll find out a lot of those answers 1 week and a few hours from now. But on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. This has been our fifth, sixth, seventh, who knows what number night of Championship Week. We'll be back again Sunday evening with another video podcast. But on behalf of John Salika, Joby Fortson, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, and David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again real soon.